Of course, the Pope himself will probably sit in at most, if not all, synod sessions coming up during the next 3 weeks. But the chief protagonists of the Synod of Bishops for Africa are the bishops, priests and laity from each of the 53 African nations, as well as from Orthodox, Anglican and Protestant churches on the continent. And reading the list of participants, I discovered that Pope Benedict has also invited 47 bishops from outside Africa to participate, as well as the Director General of the UN Food and Agriculture Organization and the former head of the joint United Nations African Union peacekeeping mission for Darfur. And that's because the aim of the Synod is so urgent and so fundamental, the Church is prepared to work with all men of goodwill. And much thought and much work has been produced in the run-up to this Synod, both by African players and by those who have the future of Africa at heart, like Jesuit Father Wilfred Sumani of Malawi, who spoke at length to Godfrey Kampamba, who works for Vatican Radio's English for Africa programme, about his fears and his hopes for the tiny southern African nation.
Actually, we used to hear stories of starving Malawians, you know, just a few years ago.
Yes.
And it's just striking to note that today the situation has changed. And we hear that Malawi is exporting food to some countries in Africa, maybe even to the United Nations. Just tell us something about that reality.
Yeah, I just have some statistics here. Since we live in a world that believes in statistics, we have something from the Permanent Secretary and the Minister of Agriculture. He claims that Malawi this year registered a surplus of maize amounting to up to 1.2 million tons. And for the past 3 years, the figures show that Malawi has been growing in the area of food production and self-reliance. So this is a positive aspect, in my view. We are exporting maize, I'm told, to some countries. It's true. As long as that doesn't undermine our own food security back home.
Now, I would like to link that to climate change in Africa. In some countries of Africa, Kenya, for instance, they say the food prices have doubled and animals are dying in national parks because of climate change. In Malawi, are you going to tell me that there is no more dying of hunger? There is no more crying of lack of this or that?
First of all, let me just quickly address that area of people struggling, especially in villages. We know that development takes a long time. And these figures, for instance, they claim that Malawi is the world's second fastest growing economy after Qatar. Things like Malawi registering an annual growth rate of 9.7% in 2008. All these are statistics, but then we need to trace them back to the life of the ordinary person. And as much as there is significant change, we realize that almost every year, at least where I come from, between January and February, people struggle a lot.
That is the before harvesting period.
Yes. From towards the end of December up to sometime in February there's a lot of struggle. People don't have food. Now, we can explain, we can try to investigate what actually happens, because it's true people harvest a lot. But then, what happens that these people shouldn't manage to sustain what they have up to the next harvest period? There are many factors. First of all, maize becomes a sort of a currency in villages. So they use maize to buy whatever they need, because maybe the market of the other crops like tobacco or cotton is not that viable. So they end up using maize as their currency. So here comes a man selling fish. He tells them, "Give me your maize, I'll give you my fish." Then comes another person selling clothes. "Give me maize, I give you this material." Then comes another person selling maybe pots. It's the same maize which is subjected to all this kind of trade. It's kind of barter trade. Towards the end, just at the end of the day, they realize they no longer have this maize. They starve towards the end of the season. So this is a problem. It's real. It's a problem which people face every year. But I think it can be addressed if the root problem is really analyzed.
What is the root problem?
The root problem is that the market for the other crops is not viable enough. People grow cotton, but then the market is not really viable. First of all, they do not have the capacity to set the prices. The buyer tells them how much he's going to pay. And then the tobacco, we know that there are quarrels every year with the buyers. The president tries to intervene, but then after some months, they go back to the same low prices. Every year is the same problem. So if the commodities are given a good price on the market, probably this maize could be cushioned. It wouldn't end up being a kind of a currency for everything that is needed at the level of the household.
I would like to take you back to climate change.
Yes.
And the development, the agricultural development in Malawi.
Mm-hmm.
How are ordinary people faring given this experience of climate change in Africa, in Malawi in particular?
Yes, there have been years when we've suffered lack of rainfall. We know that when there's no rain in countries like Malawi, that directly means there's no food because we are heavily an agro-based economy. So we're just lucky that for the past 3 to 4 years, we've had very good rains. And perhaps that explains why our food security is improving. But if we don't have rains, that's disaster for us. So you have a phenomenon of people who cut down trees because they try to get charcoal of it and then sell that charcoal. If you travel along the Blanta Zomba Road, for instance, in the south, or even Lilongwe, you find many people carrying charcoal on their bicycles. Now, this charcoal doesn't come from trees that are planted by the people themselves. They go out into the forest, cut down the trees. We may not immediately feel the impact now, but in the long run, this is going to affect us. And I think this is something that needs to be addressed now.
Now, there is this phenomenon of the global economic crisis. It is causing trouble in many countries of
mm-hmm.
the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you have talked about the developments being introduced into Malawi by the president, mm-hmm. which have even made him very famous among the people.
Yes.
Can you talk about Malawi's share of this, if it is passing through Malawi also, or if, again, Malawi has been spared?
Malawi is beginning to experience this problem of the global economic crisis. It's something that has been coming gradually. You know that the more marginalized an economy is, the slower the impact. So people say Malawi has been a fairly marginalized economy. And because of that, the effects were not felt immediately. But now, the effects are coming, and especially in the area of exports. You know that we rely on tobacco. Tobacco is our gold. So because of this crisis, the demand for this crop is going down, and that is affecting us seriously.
How is the ordinary Malawian faring vis-a-vis these challenges?
I don't want to be pessimistic, but for me, the life of the ordinary person in the village doesn't seem to improve too much, except that when they have enough rains, okay, and then there's a bit of fertilizer, maybe they can cultivate something that will keep them going for 2 or 3 months. But it's kind of this dance going around in circles. Yeah, it's a spiral. You grow crops, and then you consume them. You go back to square. Is this square one or square zero?
Mm.
Let's make it square one. So I don't see much improvement. You hardly see a person making progress. Like this year they buy a bicycle, maybe next year they'll buy something else, and then the growth keeps accumulating. No, you find that the person buys a bicycle this year, and when they have no food, a few months down the road, they'll sell that bicycle. So next year they have to work for a bicycle again. They keep building the same type of houses.
Mm.
I don't see really much development happening. Now, of course, we might say development doesn't come within a year. Maybe if we sustain our growth, maybe some years from now, we might begin to experience changes. But as of now, life for the ordinary person is not that easy.
Mm. In Malawi, you have a good presence of the church.
Yes.
How is the church in Malawi being prophetic?
Actually, they say about 20% of of the population is Catholic.
It's Catholic.
Yeah, that's what they say. And of course, we know that the church has played a prophetic role in society. It goes all the way. It goes all the way back to 1992, when the bishops published that Lenten pastoral letter, "Living Our Faith," and we know that the pastoral letter shook the ruling party to its foundations, and then we realized, we kind of moved from one-party dictatorship to multi-party democracy, which we still have up to date. And periodically, the church speaks out against something or speaks out in favor of something, trying to guide the government, but also the other members of society regarding politics, regarding economics, regarding social life. And I think the church has played that prophetic role.
What do you think are the key challenges and the issues that the church in Malawi is experiencing?
The key issue continues to be that of relevance. How does the church continue to be relevant to the needs of the people? Because it's one thing to have a big congregation on Sunday and then, you know, have that consolation of preaching to people and getting all these figures of people who come for baptism every year or weddings and all that. But how does the fact that this person is Catholic or Christian affect his or her way of living in society, but also how that can contribute to the transformation of society? I think that continues to be a big challenge. I think it's a question of conversion, continuous conversion. How can the church continue to encourage that conversion? That constitutes a continuous challenge. On the practical level, the church doesn't just want to become a Sunday affair. The church wants to participate in the daily lives of the people. For instance, in the economic life, in the area of health. And we know that the church has done a lot, building schools, building hospitals, sometimes even helping people with some income with which to start a bit of business. But the challenge is, does the church have enough money to continue building schools? Does the church have enough money to continue building hospitals or to continue helping people with food when there's hunger, when there's starvation? Providing ARVs these days, does the church have enough money to do all that?
Now, let me take you to the Synod for Africa in October. We look back at the first synod and now there's this one. Do you think the synod can change the outlook of life, first in Africa and then second in Malawi itself?
Yes. These meetings are useful. Once in a while, the church needs to meet, look at the issues that are on table, and then try to find ways of addressing them as a community of believers. So I think it's a good thing that we're going to have this synod of bishops. And we know that as time moves on, these challenges take on new dimensions. They take on new colorings. Now we're talking about the global economic crisis. So how does the problem of injustice, which has been in Africa maybe for a long time, or the problem of conflict in Africa, how does that acquire a new meaning in this context? So I think that's very important. We need to meet again and again.
What kind of message do you think the faithful of Malawi, I'm talking of Malawi because we're Malawian,
yes,
but also maybe of Africa, would like to hear come out of the synod to speak to their situation? What kind of message do you think should come out of there? If you were a synod father, what do you think you should put your accent on?
Naturally, I would expect the people of Malawi and, of course, the people of Africa to expect a statement or an analysis of their situation, which is not a repetition of what has been said before, because we've so many documents. With so many documents that have said many things. But can we move beyond this generality, the level of generality, to something that begins to speak to the person? Now, maybe that is kind of too much expectation from maybe a document that will contain maybe 50 pages. But I think the people would like to see the church see their real situation integrally. I don't think people will be happy just to have another document that repeats what we've had before.
Some of the points which would not have affected their lives.
Yes, like, yeah. Mm. Something more specific, something new, something that speaks. Maybe it's the same old thing, but said in a new way.
That was Jesuit Father Wilfred Sumani of Malawi speaking to Godfrey Kampamba.